You say in the book that 911 was not an American intelligence failure as much as it was a directive. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, it wasn't an intelligence failure because although they did have quite a lot of information, they were unable to put it all together. And the reason why they were unable is because they always had looked at terrorism as a crime, and they never have looked at terrorism as a form of warfare. So they, that this is what I meant when I said that sentence. It was an awakening to a certain extent, and it should have come long before, of course, and it was partly due to the arrogance with which both Western governments and Eastern governments, including former Soviet countries, have looked at this problem.
Yes, but also trying to investigate certain terror groups. Many people in the FBI said, they were told by higher-ups, don't look any further.
Well, but this is exactly what I mean. I think it was a failure to understand the magnitude of the problem, which is continuing today, of course, because the CIA and the FBI were actually investigating several of these groups, including charities. One example was the WAMI, which is, the World Assembly of Muslim Youth. That's an extremely, extremely radical charity who actually is preaching the supremacy of Muslim culture all over the world. Now, in the U.S., this charity was headed by two brothers of Osama bin Laden. Now, the FBI started investigating WAMI in the early 1990s because they knew that something was going on, especially, hate literature, which they were distributing. The Clinton administration first, and then later on the Bush administration, basically told the FBI to back off. Now, why? Because WAMI is a very, very important charity in Saudi Arabia. It's a charity supported by important people within the royal family, and these are our allies. So this is basically the explanation of why investigation, which could have been proved really vital to prevent 9/11, were actually never concluded.
Osama bin Laden himself made quite a bundle in the stock market after September 11th.
Oh, yes, they did. There was widespread speculation the week before 9/11. In particular, it was against the airlines, which were, of course, targeted by the hijacker on 9/11, but also the insurance who insured those airlines. Now, the market was moving very, very quickly. There was an increase in exchanges of transaction, which went up at a certain point, by 50%. So, you may say, well, why nobody did anything? Unfortunately, in these circumstances, because the capitalist system is structured in a certain way, which is, basically freedom of almost everything on the stock exchange, you do not realize you can't do anything until, the insider trading has taken place. And then, of course, you go after the perpetrators, which in the case of 9/11 was impossible.
Right, so a little too late, and we can talk more about that in our next segment. Very briefly, very, very briefly, why don't we hear about these things on 60 Minutes or the 11 o'clock news?
Well, 60 Minutes, actually, interestingly enough, has spoken with me a couple of times. There are a few producers who really wanted to do something, and nothing really happened. That I said that because I want you to understand. I want also the listener to understand that even within the network, there are people who are receptive to this message. It is the management, it is the top, the people actually running the network who block this kind of news.
My friend says freedom of speech ends with a guy who signs your checks, and maybe there's some truth to that. This is a sidebar, but what ended the terror in Italy? What ended the reign of the Red Brigades? What stopped it?
Well, the fall of the Soviet Union, of course, changed completely the political landscape of Italy. Until then, Italy was defined as a blocked democracy. a de facto democracy which doesn't have an alternative form of government, i.e. the same party was actually ruling the countries for 30 years. The reason why the Red Brigades were fighting against the ruling party is because they believed that there was not a true democracy in Italy, otherwise why the same party was being elected continuously. So they decided to embrace violence in order to change the situation.
Let's go back to a little bit more of history. When you look at the Crusades nearly 1,000 years ago, also in Italy, by the way, you see a very similar at least it was centered in Italy or what is now Italy. But you see a very similar dynamic to what is happening today. It's basically an economic movement under the guise of a religious movement.
Yes, what I said in my book is actually that what the West is witnessing today, it is a reversal of the Crusades, whereby we have Islamic insurgency waging a crusades against us, the West, because we are perceived as the hegemonic economic power, which is keeping their countries, i.e. the Middle East and the Muslim world, under a colonized kind of occupation. The Christian Crusades were very, very similar because during the Crusades, Europe, Western Europe, was actually a colony of Islam. It had been a colony of Islam since the fall of the Roman Empire, so we're talking about several centuries. Islam at that time was a splendid civilization, and it was the superpower, the only superpower in the world. The Crusades were waged primarily to break the economic hegemony exercised by Islam over Western Europe. And religion was a sort of umbrella under which a very important alliance was forged between the emerging middle class of Europe, the merchant, the bankers, and the traders, primarily coming from Italy, in fact. The papacy, which of course, you know, had all interest in regaining Jerusalem, which was under Islamic occupation, and the starving population of Western Europe, who have nothing to lose but everything to gain by going to war. So something very similar is taking place today, where we see the emerging Islamic middle class. We're talking about bankers, traders, merchants, primarily coming from Saudi Arabia, who have allied themselves with the radical Muslim, the Wahhabis of Saudi Arabia. And under the religious umbrella of Wahhabism, which is, you know, the most conservative interpretation of Islam, a third party has been brought in, which are, you know, the Muslim population, the unemployed and starving to a certain extent also population of the Muslim world.
Yeah.